Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
It's right there behind me.
Sure enough.
Unsigned. I haven't really, I mean, I don't sell originals out of here. Like, most of the people walking, we sell prints all day long.
Yeah.
Like, I just showed the other Atlantic Harmonies there for $1,200 or whatever for that set. That'll sell all day long.
Yeah.
$18,000 ain't going to sell out of this. And people aren't going to walk in on the street. You know what I mean? That's going to have to be, I'm going to
proactively seek a buyer. You got to frame that picture.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I just haven't really worked at selling it.
Is that door locked in case Carl decides to walk down here at Thanks?
It is.
Who?
Her brother.
I think we should bring him in and just fucking just... throw, just, you know, give the Carlness.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to invite him?
Have I ever met your brother?
No. So the funny thing is, one episode, I don't know if you...
Are we recording right now?
Probably.
I know we are.
With Chip LaMarco.
The red light.
Right? We had Chip LaMarco in here.
You can't talk any lower. They can still hear us.
Yeah. And Matt Dubuck, the head coach of Cardinal Gibbons football.
I remember them. Absolutely.
And she couldn't make it one night. And coincidentally, earlier in the day, her brother, like about half an hour before the podcast, just comes and visits the gallery. And I'm like, oh, how funny is that? Your sister can't make it. Why don't you fill in for her?
Right? As a bartender.
And I thought that'd be a fun idea.
Was he offended? He
apparently hasn't hung out with Carl.
It was a little bit of a rough time. Like, he's like going up to Chip, you know Chip.
Yeah.
He's going up to Chip, like unbuttoning his collar, going, hey, loosen up, Chippy.
He's like 6'4", 6'3".
On the show.
Know.
Oh, shit.
I'm like, wow. I'm like, Carl, don't do that, man. I almost had to stop the show. But
we're at home watching it, because I was supposed to leave for the cabin,
we were doing
and I didn't. So there was the live
Oh,
time.
even Mo better.
We're like, doing it live. Oh, my God.
And Kath, we're actually eating dinner watching it, and like they're sitting there running through it, and I can hear them talking. I'm texting them. I'm like, you have to check their drinks. Like, stop speaking. I can hear you through everything. Like, I'm texting them all this stuff, and I can see him pushing me to, like, mute, you know, and he's talking to the gentleman's wife back here, and you can hear all
oh,
the
yeah.
conversation.
Oh, yeah, Eileen's at the end of the bar. This is when we were next door. Yeah. So Eileen's at the end of the bar, too, and he's, like, talking to her, too, and, like, he's picking, the mics are picking all this up, too, like, in the middle of our podcast, and we're like...
And yeah, then we're sitting there.
Stop talking, dude.
They start going through the sponsors, and he starts talking again over, like, Dennis, you know, like, Dennis, you're the man, all this other stuff, and we're sitting there eating dinner, and they just cut him right off. Like, Dennis couldn't even get through his sponsors, and they cut him right off. And and my daughter's like, I don't think they want Uncle Carl on the show. And I'm like,
oh, Carl. Sorry,
but it was
Carl.
Cute because he walked by a couple weeks ago, and he, like, looked in the window while we were... He's your new Lighthouse Point...
Yeah, we're neighbors.
Residents. Now you guys got neighbors. New neighbors. Yep. My brother's new to the industry, you know.
Nice.
Area.
Yeah. So, all right. We
That's not how I want to start the fucking
show. I hope that doesn't happen today. That's all right. So, we are in the presence of greatness once again. So, I got my buddies here, right? Our favorite show that we do. our most popular show that we do is with you two guys. So
it's been a while.
Right? It's been a little while. But,
yeah,
you know.
What's it been? 4 or 5 months?
No, has it been that long?
I think so, at least, yeah.
Probably that might be the longest stretch we've ever gone without doing a show.
Did we do a? We didn't do a wrap up for Sailfish season, did we? I don't even remember.
I don't either.
Yeah, did Jimmy Johnson?
So no, we didn't wrap it up then.
No, we didn't.
My husband
wrap it up.
Asked how long this podcast is going to be. I was like, hours. Just put the kids to bed. I'll see you after.
See you tomorrow, hon.
It's been a while. I want to say though, this weekend was a lot of fun. So she throws this thing at her house. They invited us to this thing that they do called Splash Bash, right? And I guess apparently you do this every year at your house.
It's starting to be an annual.
So
it looked like fun.
It's a lot of fun, right? So, but I was the slide king.
I saw something about that.
So I was telling all these kids, so I went on the slide. So you put a couple margaritas in me. At this point, I see a bunch of kids sliding down this bounce house slide. So I got to go and climb up, and I start getting on there. I'm like, I said, listen, when everyone know, I rule this thing. Like, no, we rule this thing. Like, I said, no, I am the slide king. See, she's got the picture right there.
Started throwing kids off the slide.
So it became a big challenge for them who could push me down the slide.
Mr. Slide King, can you come talk to my daddy and make him go on the slide, please? Because what do I say to my father to make him come with me?
So this girl comes up to me. It's like kind of like as we're leaving. She goes, excuse me, Mr. Slide King. I'm like, yes. And she's like, what do I say to my dad to convince him to come on the slide with us like you came on the slide with us? I said, oh.
Give him a couple margaritas.
I said, yeah, that's probably what I should have said.
Funny that you say that.
So I said, give your dad a kiss on the cheek and tell him that you love him forever if he'll come on the slide with you. And then she looks at me and she goes, I don't think that's going to work. Can you go talk to him?
Really?
Yeah. So I was like, no, I'm not talking to your dad. Anyway, but I was definitely the slide king. The slide king will make his appearance next year, and it'll be even better.
And Splash Bash 2024.
Unless you're living in North Carolina.
Do you guys put any baby soap on a slide? Make it.
Well, we did. They did because we had like 25 by 60 foot slide. Uh-huh. 25 high, 60 long, and it was a... Baby soap went. I had them choose. They go, you want tearless or not? And it's not as soapy enough. So they came back for the dawn.
Oh, damn.
Oh, boy.
That was about 6 o'clock.
It's a fun party. Mike makes a damn good margarita.
Which is tequila of choice.
I got to say, that's his recipe. He's just like three. Yeah. I know he drinks Casamigos like on the rocks, but I'm sure it's more of like there's a silver in there somewhere of some sort. 2 bottles actually was in that mix that we made.
Yeah, a good margarita.
So we were definitely connected by water this weekend.
Literally.
And margaritas. So, all right. So we're here with Art and Skip. This is our Connected by Water podcast number 161, right? Something like that. Yeah. 161. You believe that?
Damn.
Right, well, you guys, your first one was like 10, 11, 12, something like that when you guys first
not
came
our group, on. Not our first group one, I don't think.
No, it's solos. Yeah. I think you guys, you came on with Joey first. Mm-hmm. Right?
I was ways in.
I think. Didn't you come on with Joey together?
I think so, yeah.
And then, so, just want to give a shout out to Joey and say thank you very much. First ever guy that ever sponsored the podcast, and we appreciate it. So, and you were like 16 or something like, I don't know.
Somewhere.
Anyway, but it's been, I think we counted the podcast.
It was a pile.
It was a lot, right? So anyway, my official spiel, welcome to Connected by Water podcast. Fueled by our very good friends at Papa's PLR Room, who remind you never to be a spectator. I'm your host, Dennis Friel, and we are coming to you from the Connected by Water Studio Gallery, comfortably located between the Intercoastal and the Sand in the scenic and sunny Pompano Beach, Florida. We are a Waypoint-hosted podcast. You can find us there or also watch, listen, and subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. Do not forget to hit that like button, and please, we would love to hear from you in the comments or by email at sales@connectedbywater.com. I'd also like to express our thanks to the W Sauce and Finor Sunglasses and Olakai for giving us all your support. Now listen, I know we usually do a lot of the tournament talk that I think that's kind of evolved over the years, that we just talk and tournaments are kind of involved, right? I know we have a sugar ton of questions today.
Yep.
Right? Because everyone really, really, really responded to that post.
What, are we going G-rated now?
Oh.
It's been a little while, I know, but.
Oh, shit, damn, fuck, whatever you want to say.
Okay, good. Well, I'm the sugar. What's the sugar?
Shit, damn, crap.
I do it sometimes for character and color.
Gotcha.
Anyway, but I do want to ask one question right off the bat because I want to tease this episode. So we're having our end of summer shutdown for the studio at the end of August here. We're going to be closing the show for a couple of weeks, and then we'll be back at it in September, and we will be firing off an episode with Michelle Bombshell Dalton.
Lovely. So, yeah, she's had a hell of a summer with her travels.
She had a really great summer. She had a really great summer, so I want to talk to her all about it. So I just want to rip off one question from her, which is a really good question, right off the bat, and we can get into talking about whatever else we want. She says, if you had to build a tournament fishing team, but you could only pick five celebrities without any fishing experience at all, who would you pick?
Tom Brady. First one. I get him. Motherfucker's a winner.
There you go. All right. Good answer.
Yeah.
Winners.
I would take Shaq.
Shaq?
That's a leader. That's a leader man.
You certainly have a big enough boat.
What kind of fishing are we doing? I'm thinking like Chevy Chase. I'm like, I'm going to be on a boat. I want to laugh a little bit, you know?
Yeah. I hear that. All right. Woody Harrelson. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I want Woody Harrelson. Yeah, okay. We need a leader man. Horace Grant, if he's still half the man that I met.
Can still walk?
Yeah. Go for skills here.
Yeah. Dude, that guy was one of the most physically dominating human being I'd ever met in my life. And that was at the same time I met. He was Orlando Magic when Shaquille O'Neal was there, and the two of them standing side by side. And it was before Shaquille had really filled in, but Horace Grant was an Adonis.
Oh, he's a beast, yeah.
You're going to need a big boat for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd hit his head on the T-top every time, for sure.
For sure.
So you got what, Tom Brady, Horace Grant, Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, that motherfucker's funny.
Woody Harrelson, all right. I bet she could fish, though.
I guarantee you that man can. I would There's no doubt in my mind.
You got two more left.
I'd go Shaq.
Right.
Burt Kreischer.
Okay. The machine.
All right.
The machine.
Joe Rogan.
Yep. Oh, mm-hmm. Damn it. I was headed there next.
All right. I bet three. You can go.
They might not show up, but.
I'm just trying to think.
They'll probably get
Burt Kreischer would be so damn drunk, he'd never.
I mean, it'd be kind of like my fishing team. It's cool, right?
Good point. I got a couple of them.
Oh, let me think here.
Damn it. Oh, what's that blonde actress that...
Margot Robbie?
Angelina Jolie?
No.
He's got Barbie on his team.
I got Barbie.
There you go. No, she's
funny, too.
She's one of the Avengers.
Scarlett Johansson?
That's the one. Yep, yeah. She's definitely on the ride.
Yep. All right. I think you're tapped out.
No, I think it's just four. I get five, don't I?
Who do you get? You got Tom Brady. You got Horace Grant. Woody Harrelson.
And the blonde.
And... All right, and Scarlett Johansson. Right, so you got one more left.
Huh.
Got a thing for Scarlett. So how many you got left?
I got Shaq, right?
Yep.
Burt Kreischer.
Yep. Burt and Joe.
Yep.
Burt and Joe. Margot Robbie.
Margot, you each got one more left.
Damn, Michelle.
This is a good question,
isn't
it?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah. It's interesting.
I'm not sure how many fish we're going to catch, but we're going to have a good time.
A good time, no doubt.
Who are you putting on your boat? You got Chevy Chase over there, Carly, and who else?
I'm just thinking about Woody Harrelson banging the girl in the back of the boat. You might need to grab somebody else to come with you guys because you know they're going to be in the back not partaking.
That's where your head's at.
It's always right. That, man. Thanks, Carl and John and Kaz and the rest of the Sensor Rabinski family.
Man, I didn't know it would be this hard. I'm not a big celebrity guy.
We'll come back to it.
I may actually drop somebody and add two.
All right, go ahead. Drop somebody.
So the two, I can't, I, you know, Casey Affleck and he's somebody's son. He just passed away, famous actor.
They were in
Hangover. They're always squabbling with each other, giving each other shit.
They were in Hangover?
They're in the Hangover. No, I'm sorry. Ocean's 11.
George Clooney, Brad Pitt.
Casey Affleck and...
Ben's buddy there, Matt Damon?
No, not Damon. They're the two brothers. They're racing the thing down the racetrack. They're always at each other.
I think
they would be freaking hysterical.
They would be fun.
If they were, especially they had to be in character.
Five celebrities who have no fishing experience whatsoever.
Well, who would know if they have fishing experience or not, though?
Well,
you know?
And, you know, if they're not going to be an asset to
I think
your
it'd be
team.
Fun. Go for
it'd
it.
It'd be fun as fuck.
That's funny. You guys are still missing a person.
We both only picked one athlete.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a... But, I don't know. I was thinking about, I was going to go down a bad, bad path. But
what's that?
I thought
path?
I might bring Joe Biden along with me.
Really?
Yeah, I thought he might be a pretty fun guy.
That and a bag of cement.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Whoa! Took a dark turn.
Yeah. Pretty dark there, Carlene.
I was just who's the asshole in the background?
I don't think he needs. I think if you got him in the water, I don't think he could swim.
That's so true.
I think the first boat ride might.
It's like just treat him like a gannet and a fucking bird. Ping, ping.
No.
Use a BB on that asshole. That's all you need. Just
you know what?
Ping.
Here's so well, they wouldn't be a celebrity, would they? Any one of those CEOs, any one of the major oil companies.
Sponsor?
I think a CEO of a major company is technically a celebrity.
There you go. Right? Give me Shell or BP or I guess maybe they're all
you
British
so?
Petroleum. Any of them?
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, if because if, I mean, they're in the news. I mean,
they're
people
business
talk
people.
About
that
them
doesn't
all the
make
time.
Them a celebrity. A celebrity is
right,
like somebody
so
that's
that. Like, I don't know, Michelle.
Work
Michelle's
their
a celebrity.
Ass
I'll take
off
Michelle.
To be where they are.
Two hot blondes. There you go.
Yeah, but she's got fishing experience.
Oh shit. All these fucking rules.
You're
going
to really
rules.
You're going to choose Michelle to be on your boat?
I was going to, but she's got fishing experience.
Yeah.
So we're out.
She doesn't qualify.
Damn it. I've tried all I can't right. I can't think of a celebrity's name right now. Like literally drawing a blank on a celebrity's name.
Really? I'm kind of drawing blanks on celebrities' names too. Yeah. So,
but they're not celebrities anymore. There's people that say anybody's a celebrity.
Yeah.
You don't know who all these people are because they're just what's its and, you know.
What's this and who
listen, has? I, celebrities like Chevy Chase, like people that have grown up in the industry and like made the industry. All these people that are like the new movies, they ain't got, it's just a name.
Hey, go, I'll take
they have
that,
no,
that
no knowledge, no.
A redhead singer that's all over social media now. I'll take that dude. Well, I just.
Oh, the guy from
the Richmond.
The Richmond
yeah.
North of Richmond.
That's great. Yeah.
Oliver, what's his name?
Yes. Something like that. There you go. He's
Oliver
on my
Anthony.
Boat. There you go. He's on my
Oliver
boat.
Oliver Anthony.
I have no idea who he is. See?
You don't know about that Oliver Anthony
it's
song?
Quick. Yeah, it's quick. It just showed up. But
yeah, that's good. That's he was like shot like overnight to number one all over iTunes.
I saw a thing today. He was reading the Bible before.
America
he,
Speaks.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't me, obviously. But
No. But I'm just saying it was pretty cool.
Yeah, he's had a dark past and
I'd take
recovered.
Aaron Lewis with me.
Aaron Lewis would be great, but he has fishing experience.
But he doesn't have, he's not like a professional fisherman. He likes to
he's
deep,
a deep
he's like,
drop
what is, yeah, he's
jigger.
A jigger. He's like, you know. So.
Oh, my God. I had these Asian dudes. I've gotten in pretty tight with Shimano here.
Awesome.
In the last little bit. Yep. And I had these Asian dudes on the boat. And to actually slow pitch jig properly is not much better than that speed jig and shit. Them boys were hard after it all day long with the twitchy, twitchy, and twitchy. Oh my God!
Twitchy.
and it's all they wanted to do all fucking day long.
Oh yeah!
And it's the same thing I've had every time with the slow pitchy jig shit. We troll, we catch a few fish, we put the live baits, we catch a few fish, and we put the fucking twitchy jigs out, and we wait, and they twitchy away. Oh, had a bite! Fuck, you ain't caught nothing yet, and they twitchy away. I ain't sold on these twitchy jigs, other than in the Bahamas.
They work for
in
sure.
In the Bahamas, they work great. They ain't work worth a shit out here for me.
Dude.
Well, I should say for me, for them on the rods, twitching away.
At the Lighthouse Point Yacht Club, I think it was two meetings ago, the guys from Johnny Diggs came in and did a seminar, and they did a great job. They really laid it out pretty well, and it sounded very enticing. I don't do it, you know what I mean? But the way they explained it was, you know, not a lot of work and a lot of high success if you do it this way, and that those guys are just going and hitting it hard. Maybe they're just doing it wrong.
I don't know. These are the guys that invented it.
Well,
so,
those might have been the guys from the place that invented it. Yeah. I don't know.
Here's the problem. Every time you hook quality fish on those twitchy rods.
These Shimano
shark,
guys?
Yeah, a shark ate the fucking thing. Or they hook a bonita, you catch that. But every quality bottom fish we hooked on two trips now, a shark ate the fucking thing. Like, I'd be tight, they're fighting the thing and acting like a snapper or a grouper or something. And the one, my mate Chris, caught half of a scamp. Mm-hmm. And a sandbar shark on the same jig. The thing that ate the scamp grouper and hung the shark, and he caught the damn thing on this little spaghetti stick rod,
right?
Which was pretty impressive. But yeah, so you can't put enough heat on a fish to reel faster than a shark anyway, but you really can't with those little twitchy rods. So I don't know.
Twitchy rod. That's so funny.
Dude, you
twitchy,
know
twitchy,
rod.
Twitchy. Oh, I know.
It's a little twitchy stick. The thing is smaller around than my pinky finger.
I got guys that are addicted to it. They come out. I love it when they go on the boat.
Yeah.
There's no bait. They just all day long.
Yeah.
Now they use those little micro jigs too, and they catch little blackfins, bonitas. They do it all day long.
There's no doubt the tunas and bonitas love them.
But that's like fishing for roosters on a panga in Costa Rica.
That's a lot of surface.
I mean, it's like wears you out. Like just hitting that popper nonstop. You got to take a break every now and then. That's a lot of work, too.
Jerking off all day, man. You just can't do it, can you?
No. No, way too old for that.
A lot of Pedialyte.
Speak for yourself.
I'm helping you out over here,
then. Thanks. What are you, over the framing stickers?
Looks better than the fucking girl holding a puppy sideways with her baby there that says $5.99.
Just like, what you talking
about,
Willis?
My cousin, man.
I'm just saying, like.
Anyway, what have you guys been up to?
Fishing. Looking, thinking.
Yeah. Wondering. Nick says he sees you in Publix the other day.
Yeah.
Your eyes
are
all bugging out. You're getting Cheetos and sodas and you know, you hitting it hard.
Yeah, we've been going hard. Now, my eyeballs have been pissed off here lately, too. I don't know. I'm getting all red.
Yeah.
You see, I got what's this one? Got some weird red thing going on.
Yeah, really?
I like that sticker.
I got an appointment to go look at it, but.
These are nice.
Yeah.
Another problem with down here is there's goddamn many people. You can't get an appointment to do anything for weeks and weeks out.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I'm hinting at is that I'm seriously considering a move.
Dun, 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 dun.
It's just, dude, everywhere you look, there's more and more condos going up, and you
can't absolutely
get
insane around here.
Anywhere on the road.
If I leave here to go home to Coral Springs, it's 10 miles as the crow flies. It'll take me a full hour during rush hour.
Oh.
Full hour. And it's not a fun full hour. It's a bumper-to-bumper pain in the ass hour. It's of struggling and battling.
Especially when you go to Riverland and back.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that. Anyway.
Yeah. Didn't sound like fun.
No, it didn't.
But the good thing is there are podcasts to listen to now, which, but whatever. It makes waxing a boat and doing cleaning things so much better. Like, I love listening to music, but get me in a good podcast and I really get some shit done.
Yeah.
Or even a book on tape. I've listened to Jack Carr's total series of 6 books now twice.
Really?
Yep. Dude, he's with his life experiences. You know who I'm talking about, the Terminal List. You don't know Jack Carr?
Mm-mm.
Terminal List, they made a TV show.
Oh, yeah,
on Netflix,
with the dude from Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
Parks and Rec? What's his name? Owen?
No, I don't know. Who cares?
Chris something.
All right, I'll take him on my boat. There's my number 5.
Yeah,
he'd be whatever his name is. That guy.
My son idolizes him.
He's hysterical.
He seems like a good dude.
Yeah.
Seems like. But anyway, they're amazing books. Well, he's a Navy SEAL. I guess they're not retired. They're whatever they call themselves, no longer active.
Right.
Navy SEAL.
Decommissioned?
Yeah. And he writes these novels, these fiction novels. But the interesting thing about it is he says everything in the book that he's writing, you know, it comes from his experience, but not actual events in his career or life. But he'd write things in there about places in whatever, safe houses and whatever all. And the government, he has to put all his books in for the government for looking at it. And they redact a bunch of shit. Well, I didn't know there was something there, but clearly now we know something was here.
Really?
You know, a safe house or whatever and different methods of operation.
So he's got to turn that into the government every time?
He did for his first 4 books.
Yeah.
And then for the last 2, he said, fuck it, I ain't doing it no more.
Yeah.
So
why did he, he did it voluntarily or they
required
him?
Yeah, if you lived the life he lived, he also worked for the CIA for a little while.
Yeah.
Then
there's a lot of things that
he knows that
might be a little
be
fuzzy on the, yeah, wow.
Yeah. But they're great books.
Some might get somebody killed.
Dude, governments are like, they're real sticklers with things like that. I mean, listen, with the mint, I mean, I can't talk about any of it. I mean, we went for our symposium for 3 days when I became an artist for the United States Mint, and the first day and a half was legal.
Really?
Day and a half of a 3-day symposium, legal. All it was you talking to their lawyers. You can do this. You can't do that. They're putting up charts and graphs and examples of people that have tried it in the past at the Mint and like all the bad things that happened to them and they scare the shit out of you.
Oh, crazy stuff.
Yeah. But it's working for the government, dude. It's,
I did it.
It's not all glitz and glamour, trust me.
Oh, it's terrible. I did it working at Fisheries Management Council. I learned how bad bureaucracy is and how bad our federal government is.
It's horrible. That's why nothing gets done.
They don't care about you.
No, and I don't want them to. Don't care about me. Don't look at me. Don't help me.
Don't
just
be there.
Get the fuck out of my way and let me live my life.
Small, you sound me like when I woke up this morning talking
government.
To my husband. Get the fuck away from me. Let me live my life. Sorry.
Get that thing away from me.
Well, that never, but yeah. Just no snuggling here.
What's that poke of me? So, yeah. So, and, you know, I agree with you, though. Small government.
Yep.
Like, just please, just provide your basic necessity.
That's the thing that kills me. In all these podcasts I listen to, and all these little, you know, news, I don't know whatever you call them. They've got their, it's not mainstream, whatever you want to call the little side news deals or talk. And I'll listen to a whole lot of progressive and left-leaning people just to try to understand them. And they, for three quarters of the of their rant, will be bitching and moaning about how bad government is.
Right.
And then the last quarter will be, we need more government.
We need more government. Yeah.
How the fuck does that make sense to anybody?
It's delusional.
I'm all about local and state, you know, really community government and local government. Absolutely. Because you got, you just have some, your hands are in that. You got some control there. Exactly. In smaller communities. This community around here is getting too goddamn big. But
no, the way we're structured, when we go to the capital, to states, to to counties, to towns, I mean, that's the perfect
system. It's supposed to work.
It's the way it's supposed to work. It just, there's a lot of overreach. Well.
Thank you.
But there's no, how can they in Washington know what we need here?
They don't.
They can't know.
No, that's why we have states and counties and cities.
Keep the roads good between towns and states. All right, that's your job, federal government. Mm-hmm. And keep us from getting murked by any other entities. Anywhere.
Yeah, whatever. Oh, now. Police rescue fire.
Yeah, but that's not even federal. None of that's federal.
No, that's not federal. No, I'm not talking about federal.
I'm talking about the federal government.
I'm just talking about just in general. Any,
I want
any
two
of
things
it.
From the federal government.
Keep if you're talking about
murked.
Federal?
Yeah, keep us getting marked by other countries, right. Whatever all. And keep the roads between towns.
Yep.
Right. Bridges, roads, whatever. That's it. All right, I'll pay taxes for those things. Gladly. Happily. And the rest of it, shut the fuck up and get out of our way.
100%.
Anyway, all right. I ranted. I'm over it.
Especially when it comes to fisheries.
Totally. That's where it came from, was that my experience with the fisheries management. And it's so bad now. I still know a lot of people on the council, and they send me emails. And
so give me an update on that, because I've been in a little bit in the weeds past couple of months, with just kind of buried with a bunch of stuff around here. And there's a lot of new stuff that I haven't really kind of caught.
What's new? The science community is still dumber than a box of rocks.
We're basically...
Same place. Everything's the same.
Same place.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
So we got situations like going on up north.
Did you see at NOAA? For a little while, it sounded like they were listening to us about the sharks. And now they're putting this new ad campaign out.
Did you see that?
Yeah, about how the misconceptions of sharks. And they're talking about how, well, maybe they're not getting more of them. Maybe they're just getting smarter. And
I think the flare is a funny thing, too. This coalition that they're forming, the CCA and... The GHOF got involved, which I thought was hilarious, because now it's, I think, becoming like a thing.
I'm unaware.
I saw some ad that where it was like, you know, CCA and like all these corporations are starting to get involved, and Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation and trying to raise awareness of like sharks and everything like that.
And
it's like, really, now you're talking about this?
CCA saying this? They're getting with Guy Harvey?
Don't take that to the bank. But I did see something that was floated around recently that was
Local chapter CCA or
I think it was state
Mike?
Level. I think it was a state level. I didn't talk to Mike about it yet.
All right. Well, we need to talk to Mike about that because
Guy
Harvey's not our friend in the shark situation.
I know that. Yeah.
At all. All right. Yeah, we need to talk to Mike then. Actually, I know some more people at the state level CCA and reach out to. But I don't give a fuck anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm out. I'm done. No.
You giving up?
I've had my... No.
You can't win. It's impossible.
It's a waste of energy. And
I brought him into it because I was so tired of it.
So the issue that we have here at Connected by Water with it is that we've tried so hard ourselves. Working through our own channels and using our art to promote and using our apparel and the causes and the ways that we know how to help. And... You're right. It's just really become so tough because all it comes is like one stroke of a pen from someone that has no idea what's going on or doesn't really care to listen and just sees a dollar
listening.
Sign.
They're listening to the people that are throwing them dough.
That's what I'm saying. They see a dollar sign. It just takes one stroke of the pen. And all the hard work that we do is just thrown out the window.
Yep.
Right? And all the conversations that we have and you know all the different ways that we try to inspire the youth and do the cleanups and, sponsor this
cleanups and all that, that's all good. We got
to
continue.
No, that's great to do, but it's just like it just becomes so disheartening.
Oh, yeah,
it gets frustrating after a while.
Yeah, after every time you go fishing and sharks are still eating half of what you hook,
right?
If not more,
it's tough,
and they have been for so many years. And it's
doing nothing but getting worse.
Oh, god, yeah,
Right.
And it's not going to change anytime soon.
So, I mean, if anyone's listening to this show, I mean, we'd love to hear suggestions on different angles to take. I mean, I'm not ready to just give up.
Good. You know? Glad y'all aren't.
I'm not. Yeah, but it makes it hard. Yep. It makes it tough.
Do your part.
I mean, listen, we got...
Kill a shark.
We got all the different things, like they're trying to like control the speed limits of the boats out in open water.
Yeah.
And all the different things that they're doing up like in the New Jersey area.
Gulf of Mexico too.
You know, yeah, but all the things in New Jersey too. Yeah, yeah. Gulf of Mexico.
Well, it's Jacksonville North, dude. It's not just the North Mid-Atlantic, North Atlantic. It's Jacksonville North.
It's right where... I'm
talking about the windmill farms that they're building in New Jersey too, and stuff like that.
Well, that's off North Carolina.
I was just bringing it up
Virginia.
As another like another circumstance.
They're doing that off North Carolina and Virginia too.
There's a big push specifically I wanted to bring up with like the whole Save the Barnegat Bay project that Carl Anderson's helping spearhead and stuff like that. So that's a big initiative. They're fighting the good fight. You know, so hopefully things can be done at least on that end because that's still like a fluid situation.
Yeah.
You know, but... Dude, listen, if the government wants something, it's going to happen.
Too much money involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. That's the problem with being stuck. Nah, whatever. We ought to get off of that shit. It's...
Yeah.
All right. So
we'll talk about fishing?
Yeah.
I'd much rather
get on it. Fish.
Yeah. So what the last time we talked was March.
It was before the Jimmy Johnson, right?
I thought it was just after, maybe before.
Was it? I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, speaking of the Jimmy Johnson, Skip, would you rather win the Jimmy Johnson or play a round of golf at Augusta?
That a girl. Yeah. That a segue.
So...
I know the answer to that one.
That was comes from Chris Sanchez.
So I would 100% rather win the Jimmy Johnson. But if I won the Jimmy Johnson,
you could take that dough and go.
I might be able to finagle my way into a round at Augusta. So either way, it's a win-win.
I understand.
I think.
Yeah, but I want to take your question. I want to win that motherfucker again so bad I can taste it.
Yep.
Going to, too.
Yeah.
And Kirk Beatty wants to know, does the height of the tower determine the SPF needed in your sunscreen selection?
I do everything I can to avoid that shit.
And if so, what's the formula?
So now, being in the on the Viking
with the
Skybridge, the only place I get sun now is on my
shins
from my knees down. So I coat up. Like I look like... Actually, I started wearing pants.
Smart.
Because it just burns the shit out of my ankles and it's horrible.
Really?
Yep. I've gotten to where all I feel like cheeks, nose, ears, I'm out. So I can all cook the rest of the way. But I'm sure at some point something will pop up, but the dermatologist hasn't found anything yet.
That's good. I've had a lot of stuff cut out.
Have you?
Yeah. I actually need to go.
Cut off, burned out.
I need to take a visit. I haven't been yet since I was like a teenager.
That's for being irresponsible from not.
One of the smartest people I know in John Tite. Who does more reading and more research than the vast majority of people combined has found more evidence of issues with the chemicals in sunscreens and doesn't use it at all. And he has had no issues. Now, that motherfucker gets rosy red. He gets redder than I do.
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't like the way I feel with that stuff on my skin.
I think it's a lot of validity what you're saying because you could feel it burning.
Oh, like, it does not feel good on my skin. Yeah. That my skin reacts poorly to it. Like, I get zits like I'm a fucking high school kid from it. So, I don't know. It can't be that good for you. Which is worse? I don't know. I've spent my whole life getting sunburned as a motherfucker. Fortunately, never to pain. I've been told about it. I've never experienced that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll certainly get rosy red. So, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is there. But no. I don't care how tall my tower is. I'm minimal usage of that shit.
I always hit my nose and my cheeks and my ears. Even though I've got a hood on, all that stuff.
Do you? That stuff feels weird to me.
All right. Well, we know you don't like sunscreen. Weston Clemente wants to know why Art won't use downriggers.
Doesn't suit my style. And truth be told, I don't really do that. You know, the meat fishing stuff we do, charter fishing and everything. And in the tournaments like this past weekend, we fished that. We've tried to fish the KDW. We fished Jamie's the showdown there. And we caught mahis and kings on the troll. Never put a live bait in the water. That's all day long. Wild. And never had a wahoo bite, which we've been steady picking away at them. I'm not the planer fisherman that the hunts are and that these local charter boat guys are.
Uh-huh.
But I watch them a bit and kind of pick up some of their stuff. And we've been successful with it. We've caught quite a few wahoos, but not Saturday.
Dude, speaking of successful in wahoos, Curtis.
Yeah, back-to-back 88-pounders.
On fire.
Yep.
Wow.
And I saw there was a question something about what's with the increase in...
Yeah, so Will Kelleher.
They're always here.
Yeah, they're always here. There's 100-pounders caught probably every other year out of Boynton. The problem is we're not tackled up to catch those things. So, I mean, there's been 80-plus pounders caught, and Tim's caught them 90-plus pounds, Maddock, from as long as I've been in Pompano for 20-some-odd years now.
Yeah, I think Matt White commented on Will's. He says, Matt White basically said the same thing that you're saying now.
Back in the old days, when we used to fish wire and double hooks and stuff on the drift boat, we caught many, many, many 60, 70, 80. We caught a couple like 105, 107-pounders.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never caught 100 pounds or better. But
we used to crush them at night. Yeah. We'd whack them at night.
Yeah. I've caught a pile of 70-plus-pounders out here live baiting and have had – more tree trunks and telephone poles flying through the air sail fishing with fluorocarbon out there than, dude, first one, definitely 100-plus-pounder. We were first year, maybe second year in the conch down there off back when the monument buoy was there, and the Lauderdale Billfish, so it was November, run down there, and I wasn't an angler. I was just running the boat or whatever, and Brandon was on the right kite, and I see this fucking telephone pole coming. And it coming at the right middle, and I don't guess anybody else saw it coming. And we got an observer on the boat. I grabbed the fucking right middle, and the observer says, "You're not an angler." I don't give a flying. And this tree or this telephone goes pole goes flying through the air, and Twinkie cuts it off in the air and watches the float go. God damn it! I don't care. I'm catching this thing. So yeah, they've always been here. They always will be here. But it's harder now. What's really impressive now is catching them with the sharks.
Yes.
That's
you got to get them in.
You can. It's 88 pounds of wahoo on 20 or maybe 25 pounds.
Got to get them in.
It's tough.
You
man.
Can't force that. You can't force that. It all works.
Everything
out.
Has to align perfectly.
Yeah.
You know.
And a Gator 1 catches a 58 pound king up there amongst all that shit.
Yeah.
And it's that's
the Harvey guys lost when it was well over 50.
That's exactly. That's what pisses me off about it. Okay. So when we were really working hard at it and murking those meat tournaments so well and doing everything, if you did everything right, got the bites, fought the fish correctly, you caught the fish every fucking time, every time. And once a year, you might have a cuda or a porpoise or maybe a shark, but seldom eat one fish once a year.
Right.
Now, there's so much of that shit mixed into it that you got to get lucky enough not to get.
Well, the hunt's got one big wahoo bit off, right?
Yep. Yep. So
this weekend?
Yeah. So that takes
80-pounder, he said.
Yeah.
And when he says 80, I trust that.
Probably there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I am so not a negative person, but I'm kind of down on that right now.
Man, I don't know. You don't like sunscreen. You don't like talking about church. You don't like downriggers.
Church all you want. I just don't believe in that shit.
You know, there's a whole – this is just today's episode.
Yep.
What was the last subject?
Fuck sharks. Fuck government. Fuck sunscreen. Fuck all that shit. But I'm happy about it. Does that help?
I do want to ask one question that's kind of on the list here from Benny Townend. And he says, since we're talking about tournaments and shit.
More negativity, huh?
Is the saltwater tournament seen in a downtrend? And if so, how can we get it to bigger turnouts? Do you feel it's in a downtrend?
No doubt. I say that the summertime stuff is definitely trending down. The wintertime stuff is holding its own, doing very well, I think, my opinion. The financial end of it is definitely holding its own in the sailfish stuff.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, I got a theory on that, but it's something that our friend Bernard Paulus told me once. And he said, listen, he goes, I'm going to explain something to you. He goes, no matter what the economy is doing, rich people are always going to be rich.
Yeah.
And sailfish tournament is the higher end pitch.
Yeah, it's rich people's.
Yeah, and then you get to the summer meet tournaments, and it's more of the blue collar stuff.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah, I don't know why they're down... like they are, because they are so fun. They're fun of itch. Like, I am not competing at anywhere near the level we once did, and not really trying as hard. It's not even close to as hard as we once did. Still thoroughly enjoy getting together with the guys and going out there and doing our thing. It's a blast.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. Love being involved in all aspects of it. So
We talked about it. Like, sailfish season was the thing that got me through to meat fish season. Now, meat fish season is kind of what gets me through to sailfish season. Yeah. I don't know. It's a different animal, but I still love the meat fish stuff, even though I haven't done it a whole lot in the last couple of years. But
yeah, I mean,
thoroughly enjoy it. It's a lot of effort, though.
I gotta think. I mean, with the economy being a little down, I mean,
it's been up and it's been down. And look, so 5 years ago, four years ago, it wasn't. Dude, when I first started doing this stuff, it was 200 plus boat tournaments, every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them. And 60, 70, 80 boat tournaments now.
Are we seeing, like, I mean, COVID, the boat sales shot up? Are
those we seeing, like, a
what's that?
Those guys aren't fishing tournaments.
No, they're not fishing tournaments, but I'm just thinking of this here too. Just like, are we seeing any like movement like in like a downtrend in the boat sales? Maybe you heard about anything like that?
I think used boat prices are definitely starting to tick down a little bit, and there's more inventory now too.
Yeah.
Like during COVID, you couldn't find a boat.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't understand. Mercury still can't catch up with the needs of the market, the OEM needs or the repower needs. So clearly, there's still stuff going. Now, I do know that they're still having some supply chain issues.
Right.
But they're producing a lot of motors that are going somewhere.
Yeah, there's one little widget's made somewhere they can't get, probably. That's what it is.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is, like, we had a really bad problem with shirt blanks and all that stuff, like, really bad, with like, because a lot of that stuff's coming from overseas. And then it went away. Everything was fine and everything like that. But we're kind of experiencing, like, another downtrend on it. I'm like, why? You know, but
everybody probably filled their supplies up, and then they're having an issue getting their stuff
back
over again.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, I don't know, man. It's weird times, strange times.
No, the tournament thing has always kind of been a cycle up and down.
Right.
But there's also, you know, it happened to the rodeo. You know, the rodeo was cranking, but at the time, there was really only three tournaments. The rodeo, Lauderdale Billfish, and Miami Billfish. And there were always 200-plus boats. Especially for the rodeo. Rodeo was always 220, 250.
Dude, those bimini starts.
It was amazing. Lucky nobody died, but.
Yeah. That taught me how to run boats and made me strategically think about everything we did with
those. You get offshore and you haul ass, you know.
No, dude, we'd get on plane back in the pack and time it. You know, you watch the clock. You knew when they were going to call it.
Yep.
And we'd be 40-plus knots at the line when everybody just pouring the coals to it, getting on plane. You don't have to deal with that boat wake. You get caught up in that boat wake.
Yeah, it's pretty sloppy.
It's a mess, but God, I know. That was so cool.
But then there's also a tournament or two or three every weekend.
Every weekend.
There's a lot. Yeah, it's inundated. It really is. And if you come out with a new tournament, I wouldn't want to come out with a new tournament now, because when the hell would you hold it?
Yeah.
Every weekend
it's impossible.
Full.
Yeah. And I mean, even with sailfish, you know, not like there's a sailfish tournament almost every weekend now. Once you get in the sailfish season.
Since we're talking about sailfish. And I'm talking about some of the things I've done this summer here. I've been going up there to Fort Pierce and Port St. Lucie a bit, quite a few times. Carter Andrews has become a real good friend, the TV show dude there. And he's a really neat guy.
Coming on the show soon or what?
Yeah, we'll get that done for sure. But he lives in Vero Beach, and we were going to do a Bahamas trip. Well, one of his daughter's passports had expired. So I go up there and stay a week with him and kept boat Fort Pierce. And it happened to coincide with a moon there in July. And Port St. Lucie gets this July, the summertime sailfish bite. That, dude, it's as calm as this table. The fish are in there spawning or something. They're up finning on top. You're sight casting a bunch of them. We're fishing these tiny little spinning rods.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much fun. What the hell was I talking about? Anyway, I don't know.
The sailfish
tournaments up there. And there's like three of them now. I will not miss those events next year.
They do them in the summer now?
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. And it's real fishing. I mean, it's. I'm in.
Summer sailfish tournaments. Really?
The summer sailfish bite there is better than the January, February bite. It's crazy.
I was 18 for 22 with Carter and some of his family and a couple of his buddies up there on one day.
Come on.
We were 10 out of 14 on another day. We pulled up with his wife and his two daughters.
This is in July?
This is July.
Yeah?
Yep. Yep, pulled up in, and I hadn't fished the thing. I said, well, there's a little bit of a break right here. I bridle bait, pitch it over. Now I'm on deck. It's just me and his family. And stick it in a rod holder, put this my little copper wire thing I do, whatever, and go to get ready to rig another one. And for only bait in the water. Close the bail, hand it to his wife. There he goes jumping.
Tight.
It's like that? For real? It's like that? Scott Fawcett's up there doing it. Scott, bro, I just threw a fucking bait in the water. On the 2710 here, and it's been instantly. Yeah, it's like that up here this time of year. You don't know what you've been missing.
Right now, don't all say anything Pompano about it. Is looking at Fort Pierce real estate.
Well, that was one of our things. Like with the Southern Run guys, we always ran up there in the summertime and did that. You know, anywhere from like the 10 to the we would go all the way to Fort Pierce sometimes. Yeah. But
so I'm such a student of this shit. It was interesting. You were seeing most of them. I mean, it was a lot of sight fishing. I got a pile of room in there still. Thank you. So it was interesting. They were in packs of three a lot of the time, and there'd be two, like, 25, 30-pounders and then a fucking beast, like a 70, 80-pounder.
Yeah. Big mama.
Yep. If you hooked mama, 70, 80-pounder, the two males would not leave her side but would not feed on a goddamn thing. I mean, you couldn't get a bite out of them things. But if you hooked one of those males, you try to hook that second male, you get a triple because that female's going to eat anything you put in front of her.
Really?
But, yeah. Yep. So as soon as she got fired up, though, I think those two males, peckers, doing, and it's on. They get, you know, the excitement's excitement. They don't
right,
know why.
Right.
So, and feeding turned off. But if you could hook those two males before she got fired up, it was on. You could hook them multiple. So we quit. We would, if we saw a big one jumping, you'd see the other. You could film the other two, but we quit casting on them.
Mm-hmm.
But if we had a small one start jumping, we'd have the spinning rods ready to start casting on the next ones because it was a guaranteed bite out of the other fish, which I want us to do more of that studying. And I'm running down on the day we ended up catching 18. It was the day we caught 10 out of 14. So we took a day off in between the day we caught 18 and we caught 10 and went snapper fishing, the bottom fishing, caught some cobias are everywhere up there. It's ridiculous. But we're running down the shallows, catching an angle from Fort Pierce to Port St. Lucie where we're going to fish. And I see a free jumper inshore of me. So I turn haul ass in there. And I ran him over. I saw the jumper here. It took me a little while to get there. I'm here, and I see a female and two males, and I all but run them over, and they sound out of sight before we get a bait to them. So kind of easing along, frustrated. Maybe they'll pop back up or whatever. And I see ripples off to my right on the surface. Well, something was pushing, and the likelihood of seeing a turtle or a ray or in cobias is so much better than it is here. In that shallow, in those flats of shallows up there, you know, 30, 40, 50 foot of water. So I'm hunting hard. Chase says, that one of the dudes, Carter's buddies, on the way. Hey, he says, hey, Cap, something's over there. Slick glass calm, and there's a sail tailing along. And I mean, oh my God. Go to me, cast a bait, flies off the hook, fish eats that one. Cast another bait, and if the fish somehow rips it off the hook, these are just, you know, pinned baits, hooked them. Trying to be quick, and fish eats that one off. Still swimming along right next to the boat now, and Carter flips a bait over there, and third bait on a tailor. When's the last time you casted three baits at a tailor and ate all three? So it's such a cool fishery. Sorry, Scott, I'm talking about your fishery.
Dude, one of my favorite things about this show, especially when you guys come in, is like listening to you guys talk fishing. It's really great. No, it's like I get lost in it, and I know our audience does too. It's like
it's amazing. Really good stuff. The first time we went up there was probably... We were in the Bahamas, so it had to be 10 years ago, probably.
That's been going on.
It was bad. I think it's been going on forever, but it was like slick calm. I'm like, let's go fishing. We're driving and see a flopper, stop, and we put them up, and there's like sailfish everywhere. We're like, holy shit, you know? And we did every, you know, end of June, July, we'd always run up there and do that.
Mm-hmm. And that's the crazy thing is this is a place where they almost strictly troll.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well,
and
that's
they're
right.
All kite fishing and live that's baiting right. Up there in the summer doing it.
Always forget about that up there, yep. Too.
And the little skiffs, really think about it. Yeah, the skiffs are out there doing. There's all kinds of flats boats and bay boats, and yep. I mean, you see yep. All kinds of boats out there doing that. Yeah. And yeah, it's interesting in that, and it happened in that second event of the summer series. I can't believe I can't think of the name of the event.
The Chase and Tails.
I think that is what it is. Yeah. The two events, and. I don't remember. I don't want to mess
not
it up.
Not sure.
Yeah. It's a neat dude. Carter knows him real well. But anyway, the second event, we had a pretty good line of weather come offshore. I was charter fishing out of Jupiter at the time. And I ran around the thing trying to avoid it. And there was a pile of skiffs out there that had to get their teeth kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the Friday, so the first day of the event. That, you know, in the tournament's kind of, they've got two divisions. They've got a skiff division and a real boat division. Sorry, skiff builders, a bigger boat division.
I'm trying to think about
you
what
tournament
that is. You guys
aren't from around here, are you?
Fucking skiffs.
Y'all boys ain't from around here, are you?
The you don't like skiffs?
They got their place. It's just not my world. I don't.
I'm
going to
put right. Another check in. Okay, we got sunscreen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, we're on
skiffs.
Like 8.
Not
okay.
Offshore. So I was in a meeting not too long ago with a phenomenal electronics company.
Shit Art doesn't like. Okay.
That's
like
what we
skiffs,
need
to do.
I just don't like them offshore.
We need to make a Connected by Water podcast t-shirt, and on the back it just says shit that Art doesn't like. And that's it.
It's So
highly opinionated, my friend.
I am so fucking opinionated. I'm 50 years old, almost anyway. I'm Sorry. Allowed to be at this point.
Yeah,
I'm the grumpy old fuck that doesn't care.
Whatever's clever, brother.
Yep. Well, I don't know that I've ever been clever. But anyway, you're taking risks that I would have taken as a kid, but
right.
not now. They build boats the way they build them for a reason. Its gifts weren't designed to get caught in a storm.
No.
10, 12, 14 miles offshore.
Definitely not.
And that's the case up there. You're fishing further offshore up there. You're a mile and a half from the beach. You see something coming, you punch it. You ain't punching it 14 miles
yeah,
in a legit ocean.
The sea was angry today, my friends. I mean, shit can turn pretty quick out there, as you guys will
know. I love an angry ocean.
So I want to ask a question since we're talking about sailfish, and a lot of times I want to mix a little bit of tournament stuff in here too while I got you guys in front of me too. Eric Leach wants to know, our good friend Eric Leach, mm-hmm. our world record holding good
great
friend.
Great podcast, Eric him and his dad.
Wasn't that a yes. good one?
Fucking phenomenal.
That was a great one, wasn't it? Right? I loved having those guys.
Again,
in.
That dude's seen some shit.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. For Art, what are you, if any, it's a two-part question. What, if anything, are you doing this time of year to prep for tournament season? And Eric wants to know how many boats are in your fleet there, Skip.
How many boats?
How many boats are in your fleet?
Currently?
How many? Better question is how many feet of boats?
Yeah.
So you got one on the bow of the big one. So that's one, two right off the bat. Get the Hell's Bay on top of the Viking.
So four boats in the fleet.
Uh-huh.
And it's, bullshit. There's a contender and a... what is four. The pride?
So well, the pride, five with the pride.
Six with the pride.
So
Merit, Viking, the thing on the bow of the Viking, the contender, the Helen S. What's
Helen S.
The city. Helen S.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fish City.
So Viking, Merit, contender, Hell's Bay, Fish City. And I sold the popper, so.
Oh, you sold the popper?
She gone.
Oh, that's sad. That's really sad.
Sad day, but it's time.
Yeah.
So five.
So what are you doing to prep for sailfish season? Now, and I want to say, too, I mean, at this point, since we talked about the downtrend in tournaments, like, are you guys finding that you guys are fishing less sailfish tournaments? Are you pretty much on your program still?
Totally on the program.
Totally on your program.
Yeah. No, that doesn't. My guys, I firmly believe are still, now granted, I sucked balls last year. The only event I won, I didn't have any of my guys on the boat. It was a charter deal in that IGFA light tackle.
So whose balls are you sucking if none of your guys are on the boat?
So you can't slip one by that young lady.
Bazinga.
Bazinga.
Oh, if I was flexible enough, my own.
Wow, look at you.
But I'm not, so I guess we don't have to worry about that. So now, yet, what am I doing now to prep for sailfish season then? It's always a mental game for me. I fucking sleep and dream about that shit. It's ridiculous. I wake up thinking about it. I'm making...
Carlene's still thinking about you, thinking you're talking about your balls.
He said the little jigger, going back to the jigging. He's in his dreams. He's like, yes, we're going
to twitchy, 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 twitchy.
Little twitchy rods.
Oh.
Lord help me. This is not
you're doing just fine,
natural
darling.
And normal. I don't know.
You're doing fine. It's too soon for bait fishing right now. So I'm not doing any of that stuff. Just, you know, working through the boat, start working through some of the gear. I'd rather take care of service and reels and that kind of thing right now.
Yeah.
But
don't keep your bait in Fort Lauderdale.
Something going on down there?
Pollution. You kill all your baits. Poops that water is so dirty down there in Las Olas right now. It's horrible.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Well, again, that's part of the problem around here. They keep building. The nice thing is my understanding is Pompano Beach took care of the underground work. So
that's the thing. Exactly. And this is part of the reason I do love Pompano. They thought about that shit years ago. And they went ahead and replaced all their sewer before it became a problem. Fort Lauderdale did nothing to address their sewer. And all they did was add more condos. You go down US-1 where the Sunrise does that little boom, boom.
Oh, yeah.
Then you go head down south of Sunrise Boulevard.
It's constant
and you see
break.
Nothing but new condos up. And all I can see is that's a shit ton of toilets.
Yep. Man,
that's
going to
pollute the
breaking.
River now.
It's crazy.
Yep. Yeah.
So what's our first one this year? Dust them off is
and they gave themselves
December
an
5th.
Award for all because they replaced the sewers. And we fixed it. They gave themselves some sort of award. It's like, really? You're supposed to give yourself an award for bypassing the whole thing and it never happened. How about that? Johnny Los can tell you all about it.
Yeah, yeah. That's another thing. These guys are pounding their head against the wall. They make their living on that section of river, intercoastal and river.
Yeah.
They're just getting murked by all of it. And more people, some more business, but more people destroying that environment.
Yeah.
How do those fish survive that?
I don't get it, man.
It's crazy.
I don't really understand it. I mean, I don't know. I got a beef with Fort Lauderdale government right now. Like, big bad beef when it comes to that
good luck.
Area. Yeah, good luck is right.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right, so sorry I had to get sidetracked on that because I wanted to bring that up at least because that's kind of like recent news with how bad it really is getting down there. Like,
It's not getting. It is. It has been.
It has been, but it's worse now. That's what I'm saying. It's recent news that it's not getting better. It's actually getting worse, and it's horrible.
So
we got more sailfish stuff because Cody Davis wants to know, and you liked this question when he asked it on Facebook earlier today. If there was never such a thing as a sailfish tournament, would you still enjoy targeting them as much as you do now?
Yes.
Abso-fucking-lutely. I didn't have any more fun fishing this summer than I did up there catching them damn things. Every one of them pops up and like, ah! I lose my shit. I don't care
how many you see. If you have a passion for it and you love what you're doing, every time a fish pops up, whether it's a 2-pound kingfish, you get excited.
Right.
Yep. And sails are that much more exciting to me.
Yep. And it's just, I don't know.
I do love sailfish, like, a lot. I really do. And I know there's a lot of people that...
I know people like, just can't stand it.
Like, a lot of people can't stand it. A lot of, like, the kingfish...
Yeah,
kingfish teams and stuff like that. Sailfish just gets in our way of catching a kingfish. And, oh,
fucking kingfish of all things!
Right. I know. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly my point.
You talked about Joe Rogan earlier. It's a bit of his mentality. He doesn't understand catch and release fishing. Doesn't get it.
So, Joe doesn't.
Fuck, are you playing that trick on a fish like that? He doesn't get. If you want to catch it to kill it and eat it, he's all about it. But if I'm catching a fish to kill it and eat it, if a kingfish guy is holding something against me for wanting to catch and release a sailfish, I say the same thing about a king. A king's okay. Yeah, you can eat it. I'd rather eat a sailfish.
You could smoke a king and smoke a sail just the same.
You could eat a sailfish in any way you
want.
That's
what I mean.
They're phenomenal. Oh, but they're so much more valuable alive, I'd rather let them go.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm saying, as far as meat quality goes, you could smoke a kingfish, smoke a sailfish just the same.
Better.
Sailfish is way better.
Way better. Any way you want to cook a sailfish is better. There's got a lot of guys eat a sashimi.
And you can harvest one per day.
Hey, don't do it. Please don't do it.
No,
guys.
Don't do it, but I'm saying more you can.
Sharks are harvesting enough of them.
Yep.
Right.
They're more valuable alive. So, yeah. Yeah, no, to his question, Cody, yeah, I would fish for those things no matter what the situation.
You know, that's the thing. I need to reach out to Cody, actually. I think I want to have him on the show.
Good kid.
And talk about all that Lake Okeechobee stuff that he's going through.
Yep.
And the stuff that he does and with the bass fish and stuff like that. I'm going to reach out to him.
Yeah, that's an old Florida family. Good.
You know
Sean good.
Mm-hmm. I know Sean and Trish.
Trish, yeah.
I know Trish back from when I used to work at BC Surf and Sport.
Okay,
back in the day, we know Trish since when we were great like 15 years old. Yeah,
yep. Love those people.
So,
but I will say the tournament aspect side of it makes it more exciting. Anyway, I think.
Fuck yeah,
yeah.
Of any of it,
yeah,
of all
it doesn't matter.
It.
I don't know if you have a passion for fishing. Mm-hmm. If you're out bluegill fishing, you're going to be all about it and you're going to love it.
Well, people ask me all the time, like, "What's your favorite fish?" I just say, "Favorite fish to paint, really, too, is sailfish."
It's a special
to me. It's just like, personally, I mean, just coming up with like all the because they flip and flop and bend in every which way you can, and that sail always looks different. And every you know, and just making that sail in a painting, it's such a beautiful fish, such a signature fish to our area.
And they seem so pissed off when they realize they've been fooled.
Yep, son of a bitch. They
it's
got
like
me
instantaneously.
Yeah. Oh, shit, they got me.
Yep. And I like that attitude.
I'm like, I wake up in the middle of the night and I think about like I was thinking, we never really talked about the Jimmy Johnson, but I was thinking about it was horrible fishing. Slick calm, it sucked. And we started getting some bites, and I was like, man, I wish I would have gone switch stuff up a little sooner because we're getting bites on deep baits on flat lines.
Mm-hmm.
Should have pulled a few of the kite baits out and just put it around. I don't know. I literally wake up and be like, damn it. Why didn't I do that, you know?
Yeah.
It happens all the time. Or how to get more bites, how to change stuff up.
Yeah.
Because if you're not changing or doing stuff different, you're not trying.
I thought one of the most interesting things, too, was like when you originally first started doing the shows, Art, is – you originally started doing them just so you could go back and you talk about
mm-hmm.
or you say, oh, I talk about all about what I did this tournament, and then the next year when that tournament would come up again, you'd go back to the episode and just listen to the episode and be like, okay, yeah, what did I do that last tournament?
Yeah, so all the type A's you got on your boat and in the fucking plethora of people you have on your boat, how do you convey your thought and your need or desire to do something in a very specific manner, one, without making them disgruntled, and two, with them actually getting them to do it?
From the eighth floor.
Yeah, from the so, fucking so sky,
we from the mezzanine.
We have our headphones just like this, so we're talking just like this. I'm not screaming anymore. I still, I still scream when shit goes down.
There.
You know, it doesn't. So I lot. So going into Marlin season, I was watching a lot of Marlin stuff because I'm not a Marlin guy.
Uh-huh.
So I was watching how guys do their stuff, and I'm listening to these guys talk. How they, there he is. He's on the left teaser. I'm like, fucking there! I'm screaming, you know, through the microphone.
Right.
But it's a little less when we're sail fishing. But I don't know. As far as like, we're kind of like a, I would almost say a well-oiled machine. The only guy that
you guys
only,
have been together for a while now.
Yeah. The only thing that I really don't have is I don't have a Jimmy. I don't have that one real flatline guy that can just do it, get it done, and go. That's really the only thing I'm missing. But Josh is really good on the flatline. But he hasn't been able to fish every tournament because he's so busy. And then I got Curtis there and coach, and now I have a mate who I'm kind of grooming to learn and do stuff. So my guy is all, they hold the rod the entire time. They never put the rod down. So, and everybody basically fishes the same position, you know, and we have basically eight guys this year. So if somebody wants to tap out, they'll tap out and tap in kind of thing. But it's pretty easy. I'm like, there he is, feed him, you know, and they most of the time they listen to a T.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is I feel like, so this, like I said, I wasn't good this past season, and in the brief moments where I was actually kind of, things would show up and looked right and doing right, and we'd start to get bites, which were far fewer than the days where I was terrible and couldn't get bites. Things just went sideways. We had a rough go of it, but it's been the first year that I've had that was that rough, and I felt like I couldn't, once it would start rough, I couldn't figure out how to get the intensity back into it. Because there's got to be some urgency. There's got to be some pace to it. But inevitably, in the last half hour, all of a sudden that urgency and that intensity would show up. And because so clearly, mentally, they're there, and they know it can happen at any moment, and we can – but I'm – you know, leadership's skills and qualities. Usually, if you're doing well, leading is easy.
It's easy.
But last year, the struggles that I had.
When you're not doing well is when you need to be a good coach. And
so, exactly. So that's where it was a real learning experience, and I haven't learned yet. I haven't figured out how to pump that intensity into the group when maybe you just, hey, look, clearly, guys, I'm struggling right now, but it ain't going to be this way forever. You know, I'm struggling to find the right way to pump energy into a group of fucking elderly dudes anymore, because we are all getting elderly.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, man. I try to keep them up, you know. I normally, like, if we miss a fish, or I'll be like, I'm all right, guys, we'll get the next one. You know, I try not to get too down.
No, never on that. Never down on that. But I'm more worried about, I'm never down. I'm where I want to be and need to be just to continue sucking air. I got to be there doing that.
Now he's sucking air. Sucking balls before, now you're sucking air.
If I'm not sucking air, babe, that's when I actually will get unhappy.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days?
Yeah.
My thing is trying to keep the guys pumped up. Like, if they miss a fish,
yeah,
some of them get totally down in the dump.
Yeah.
You know,
no doubt.
Jay, who fishes our right wall, he loves it. I mean, he has such a passion for it. Like, you know, shit goes wrong. Sometimes you get a bad bite, fish eats, comes up jumping, pulls up. It happens, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But he takes it to heart. Like, he's like, oh, down, he gets down in the dumps. You know, I'm like,
J-Walls?
J-Wall, shake it off, dude. We're going to get the next one. We're going to get the next one. Don't worry about it. Fire bait out. And like a lot of times when you're getting bites, boom, you get a bite right away and it kind of goes, you know?
Yeah.
You know, in the, I'm trying to think in the, must have been the Derby because it was a tip tournament.
Derby's not tip anymore.
It was maybe, but I can't remember. It was one of them was a tip tournament.
I don't know. I haven't been able to fish the buck yet.
Anyway, so we're fishing and we kind of got in that pattern. There was a giant bait ball like literally next to the buoy out front of Palm Beach, like 90 feet, and every time we would find that ball, we'd get a bite or another bite, and we were pecking away, doing pretty good, and we ended up winning the daily day one, or day one, must have been day one, because we got daily money or something like that.
That had to have been Buck then.
Maybe, but I can't remember.
Yeah. I'm trying to. I thought it was the Derby.
It was the Derby, yeah. It was definitely a tip tournament.
Yeah.
Derby doesn't tip anymore. It's all video. But it was now.
It's video, but it's a tip tournament.
That's the one you won the first place, yes, the first day daily. That's what it was. It was the Derby.
So anyway, we had a double or a triple on, and shit started going sideways. Like, one fish was going this way, and like, it was slick calm, shit sagging in the water. And I was trying to, like you asked, I was trying to convey to everybody what I wanted to get done, but it was just fucking chaos. Shit was going sideways. And we're backing on one fish, and it spit the hook like literally like a foot from the tip. So, and that fish would have put us, it might have put us up one. I can't remember. Anyway, shit went sideways. Everybody's, oh man, we lost them, you know. I'm like, keep pushing, boys. Not a big deal.
We've got two more of them on here.
I'm like, well, we're good. Keep going. And then it was in the buck. We're up there fishing. We're up there on the ledge. We get up there, and we hook a quad. And there's shit going sideways. Stuff's going everywhere. Joey's stretched out this way. Randy's stretched out here. Everything's going the wrong way. And we ended up catching two out of the quad. Like, stuff just – one was a pulled hook.
Mm-hmm.
One frayed off. But, you know, it comes down to experience, too. Like, maybe he should have backed off a little bit. Who knows, you know?
Was that the term? It was, like, really super big out?
What, rough?
Yeah.
No, it was literally slick calm. I don't think we had one single rough.
There was one tournament that was, like, really, really big that I think you guys did well on, too, wasn't it?
Year before last, we had some rough ones.
Yeah, we had some really rough days. We had the only day that it was even marginally rough was first day of operation, because that was, wasn't, but it was blown west at like 35 or 40. Yeah. It was honking.
Yeah.
And we caught three fish for a daily or second place daily or something like that. And then next day we could not literally get a sniff. We couldn't get a bite. We couldn't catch a bonita. I don't think we caught a fish all day.
Ghosted.
We got ghosted. And Andrew was fishing right next to us down there off Flat Tops and caught like six. I think he won the tournament.
He did.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.